This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
and GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Every week on Science Fantastic, we profile some of the most amazing developments in science and technology. And today, we're going to devote the hour to the genetics behind one of the greatest killers of modern time, the coronavirus. We haven't seen a pandemic like this for 100 years, since the Spanish flu virus of 1918. But this time, we have with us a technology that's been able to decipher its secrets. We're talking about genetics. And with us today is Dr. Joshua Rappaport. He's the author of a new book hitting the bookstores in just a few more months. That book is called Mapping Humanity: How Modern Genetics is Changing Criminal Justice, Personalized Medicine, and Our Identities. And if you want to know more about Science Fantastic, go to my website. It's mkaku.org, mkaku.org. We have 3 million fans on Facebook, and I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers. My latest New York Times bestseller is called The Future of Humanity. We're talking about the future of the space program. We're going to go back to the moon very shortly, and after that, to Mars, and who knows where we're going to go after that. But today, we're not going to talk about outer space. We're going to talk about inner space. We're going to talk once again about the coronavirus. And just a few months ago, when we first started to talk about the coronavirus, not much was known about its genetics. Not much was known about how it kills so many people. Well, today, we're going to try to summarize some of what we've learned. And the question is, what do we do about it? Given the fact that a vaccine is still maybe a year, maybe a year and a half away, what about therapeutics? What about other kinds of therapies that we may use? Because after all, we still do not have a vaccine for HIV, believe it or not. After decades of research, we still have no vaccine against HIV. We have no vaccine against the common cold. And we have no vaccine against cancer. But we live with them. So anyway, with us today is Dr. Joshua Rappaport. His book, forthcoming book, is called Mapping Humanity. He got his bachelor's degree from Brown University, PhD from Mount Sinai School of Medicine, and he's currently the executive director of research infrastructure at Boston College. So Joshua, glad you could be on Science Fantastic.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited.
First question for you is, how did you as a youth, now going back years, how did you as a youth first get interested in science and specifically medicine?
So, yeah, it's a very interesting question because I've always been really fascinated with the natural world. I always sort of felt that I would be some kind of biologist, and I'm both kind of analytical and quantitative, but I also am very interested in nature and animals and ecosystems and that kind of thing. And basically what happened is I had some great professors as an undergrad, and one in particular who taught me about animal physiology. And then when I wanted to go to grad school, I really wanted to sort of focus more in a medical, biomedical, clinically relevant area. And my PhD supervisor was an MD, a practicing physician, a nephrologist, who worked in the kidney clinic and also studied renal physiology and renal pathophysiology. And over time, my work got more and more reductionist, and eventually I became a cell biologist who focused on biophysics and the use in particular of using microscopes to visualize cells, and in particular live cells. So I spent a lot of time doing live cell imaging, and that sort of transition actually from watching the natural world to watching live cells in a dish might seem like kind of a gap, but actually there are a lot of commonalities, in fact.
Okay, well, let's talk about the genetics of the coronavirus. Given the fact that we've sequenced all the genes of the coronavirus and look for tiny mutations, what I find amazing is that we've been able to create a family tree of the coronavirus, tracing all the tiny micro mutations that have taken place. We know it came from Wuhan, China. We know it went to Italy, and 60% of the coronavirus victims in the United States came through New York City, where I am right now. That's right. New York City was the first gateway for the coronavirus, and you can see that in the genetics. And then a second wave came through Seattle, Washington. And now, of course, the two waves have merged. Other waves have come in. But it's amazing what we can do with genetics. So here's the first question. What else have we learned, given the fact that this is no longer such an unknown quantity anymore? We know it's genetics. We know how it works. What have we learned that impressed you?
So it's a great question. And I guess to take a step back, though, we need to consider both the genetics of the virus as well as our genetics, the genetics of different people who might be exposed to it, because I think there's important information to learn both from looking at the virus genetics as well as human genetics. But to specifically focus for a moment on the virus genetics, so what's known and what was known before, and I guess the previous SARS and to some extent MERS outbreaks spurred a lot of research into coronaviruses. And coronaviruses are very widespread. There are many, many different coronaviruses, a lot in animals. I think people have probably heard about bats being a reservoir for coronaviruses. And coronaviruses have some special aspects of their own biology and their own genetics. And so they have a relatively large genome, so it's larger than a lot of viruses. Interestingly, though, it doesn't have a very high mutational rate in terms of introduction of individual mutations, but at least in the wild, especially in hosts like bats, you can get what are called recombination events, where different pieces of different viruses can swap back and forth. So there can be a lot of genetic variability. But importantly, the mutations or the variations that we've observed by sequencing the genome of this particular coronavirus that is causing this pandemic has taught us some things about why it might be particularly infectious or pathogenic. And as you said very astutely, also looking at the genome and looking at changes over the genome over time have shown us some things about how the virus has moved through the population and allowed us to sort of trace back patterns of movement as well.
Okay, now also looking at the virus and its genetics, there's a controversy of, well, where did it come from? Was it engineered? Was it weaponized? Was it an accident? Given the fact that some people think the horseshoe bat was perhaps the first cause of the virus, apparently there the wet markets in Hunan, China, did not deal with the horseshoe bat. So where did the horseshoe bat virus come from, given the fact that there were no horseshoe bat at the wet market Hunan? Some people say, aha, maybe it escaped from a laboratory. But what are your thoughts?
Well, it's obviously a tough question. And I think that the most straightforward answer is that there seems to be some kind of a missing link. So there's been discussion of yes, of that coronavirus that is quite similar. Similarly, there's
okay, Joshua, we have to take another short commercial break, but afterwards we're going to jump right into what is the coronavirus? Is it as dangerous as the flu or more so? And what about therapeutics that we hear about? Well, you're listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612- 1-800-564-8135, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Give us a call.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, SunnyBay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at SunnyBay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6 or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at SunnyBay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to Sunny-Bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click Sunny-Bay.com. That's Sunny-Bay.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault. A miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, with us today is Dr. Joshua Rappaport, author of a forthcoming book, hitting your bookstore in just a few months. The book is called Mapping Humanity, How Modern Genetics is Changing Criminal Justice, Personalized Medicine, and Our Identities. And we're not talking about the genetics of the coronavirus. Some people think that it originated from horseshoe bats, which were in the wet markets in Hunan, China. The problem with that is that there were no horseshoe bats at all at that wet market. Some people say that right next door, there were two institutes of virology right outside Wuhan that did have the horseshoe bat coronavirus that they took from caves 900 miles away in Yan'an. In other words, these bats were imported. So some people say, well, they have to complete the dots at this point. Some people say that maybe it escaped from the virology laboratory. But who knows? So Joshua, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about the controversy which is now affecting relations between the United States and China concerning the origin of the coronavirus?
Sure. Well, I think that when you look specifically at the genome of this coronavirus, it is not that similar to any of the known wildly occurring viruses. And in particular, there's one gene which encodes a protein that's called the spike protein, which is what actually is on the surface of it, which gives it that name, the coronavirus, the spikes that are sticking out. And that is what actually binds to the receptor that's on the cells that get infected. And there are certain regions of that spike protein that are quite different than, for example, a relatively similar coronavirus. There's also been discussion of a coronavirus that's been found in an animal called a pangolin, which looks a little bit like an armadillo, but it's actually from a different genetic background than armadillos. And so there really seems to be some missing link there. And what the exact wild version of the virus that jumped species was or is hasn't really been figured out yet. And I think the problem is there are just so many coronaviruses that exist in nature and in bats and in other species that, you know, could have, people can be exposed to in different ways. So I think it's really too soon to tell, and we need a lot more information. We need to sequence a lot more wild coronaviruses. There's a few other genetic differences. So we don't really know. Now, the question of, you know, could it have escaped from a lab? Could someone who worked at the lab gotten infected and carried it out with them? I mean, I don't know that we'll ever, for a variety of reasons. And as you mentioned yourself, you know, there are the political complications. I don't know that we'll ever have an answer to that question. What I can say, though, is I think there's pretty conclusive information, or at least there's a scientific consensus from the people who really looked at the genomes that it doesn't seem to be, you know, an engineered virus, that it doesn't have any of these telltale signs of genetic manipulation. So it does seem that in some way it was a wildly occurring virus, but from exactly which animal, which virus in the wild, it's not really known yet.
So, in other words, probably it was not weaponized by some nefarious government agent, but, well, maybe it escaped from a laboratory by accident. Who knows? Given the fact that the nearest horseshoe bats are found 900 miles away from the Hunan wet market. You have to go 900 miles to the caves in Yunnan to find where these coronaviruses were being investigated. Okay, well, let's move on. Let's talk about the flu, because some people are saying that, well, come on, what's all the fuss about, given the fact that it's no more dangerous than the flu? Other people are saying the more we know about this virus, the more we realize that it's more infectious than the flu and more lethal. But what have we learned about this virus in the last few months?
Sure. I mean, I think it's a good question because it gets people thinking more about the dangers and the risks. You have to remember, obviously, we do have a flu vaccine. So looking at data of how many people get the flu and how sick they get and mortality and all that is still in the context of what is generally considered to be, you know, a relatively effective vaccine program. So when you look at, I mean, if you're going to compare two viruses or two diseases, you know, you have to ask how contagious are the viruses, what's the amount of incubation time? And in particular, relevant to this coronavirus is the incubation time when an individual might be completely asymptomatic. They might have no idea they have it, but they might still be very contagious. And I think that's one of the key differences is, you know, I think generally speaking, when someone gets exposed to the flu, they get sick in a couple of days. But in this virus, right, we've been told from the beginning, it can take up to 2 weeks. And as we've learned, there seem to be a couple of different sort of ways the virus disease progresses. Some people might be completely asymptomatic, and that is a real challenge, especially for looking at the public health question, because if we don't know how many people are walking around with this virus, potentially infecting others, that's a big problem. But then you also have to ask about how the infection progresses in some people who get really, really sick, obviously. And people get really, really sick with the flu as well. But I think it's that combination of how infectious it is and how sick it can make you. Those are the sort of two components that we have to look at. And it looks like in both cases, this virus is really, just terrible for both of those.
Well, isn't it true that the fatality rate of the virus has been reduced over the last few weeks as we realize that a lot of people have antibodies to the virus that we didn't think were exposed at all, so that it's probably not as fatal, but it's more infectious. In fact, 10, maybe 100 times more infectious according to latest results from Hong Kong. But what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about the balance between how fatal it is and how infectious it is?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question because, right, if you're going to ask the question about mortality rate, for example, then you have to have, it's a fraction, right? You have a numerator, the number of people who have died, and a denominator, the number of people who had it. And the thing is we don't really know either of those numbers right now. We maybe have a pretty good sense of the number of people who have died from it. But even there, some people are saying we're underestimating, some people are saying we're overestimating. It's hard to tell. But the how many people have been exposed to it, how many people have been infected with it, that number we really won't know until we do a lot of, as you said, antibody testing, a lot of surveillance of who has been exposed to it. And there are issues with that as well, with making those measurements. So it's all, but it does seem to be extremely contagious. Now, remember, though, I mean, even if the mortality ratio isn't super high, if it's super contagious, as you said, then still a lot of people are going to die, and I think that's what we're seeing.
And isn't it true that sometimes you can cherry pick your numbers to swing it either way? Take a look at Sweden. Sweden did not have such a ferocious lockdown. And there you see pictures of people eating at restaurants and talking to people normally. But don't they have a higher death rate in Sweden than in Norway? And also, isn't it true that tourism, which is one of the main spreaders of the virus, people don't go to Stockholm, Sweden for tourism. They go to Paris, France. They go to Spain, where it's nice and warm. But people don't necessarily go to Sweden as tourists. So isn't it true that you can also cherry pick your facts?
Well, I mean, certainly. A lot more study is required before any conclusions can be made. I would say that one of the main issues is sort of how you define the impact in terms of mortality, because right there have been there's been data that said that people haven't been going to the hospital in some places where they might have for not coronavirus related issues. So how do you measure the full impact of the virus if that's also contributing to mortality from other causes? And similarly, when you get to the question of how you look at the data.
Okay, well, Joshua, let's take another short commercial break. And afterwards, we're going to go right into therapeutics. Is there a partial cure for the coronavirus before we get a vaccine? And you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. The number to call if you want to get on 100 radio stations is 612-564-8135. Stay tuned now as we talk about therapeutics and what do we do in the meantime before we get a vaccine.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Former Vice President Joe Biden, after again denying the claim of a former staffer that he sexually assaulted her nearly three decades ago, acknowledged for the first time the dilemma now facing potential supporters, saying, if they believe Tara Reid, they probably shouldn't vote for me. I wouldn't vote for me if I believed Tara Reid. Biden also said he didn't remember Reid, who worked for him in 1993, and said all women who are harassed should be taken seriously. seriously?
Well, to be honest with you, I don't. But look, let me get something clear. When a woman makes a claim that she has been harassed or abused, she should be taken seriously. She could come forward, share her story. She should be taken seriously.
Biden's comments came during an hour-long town hall-style event that included former Georgia State Representative Stacey Abrams, seen as a top contender to be his running mate. This is USA Radio News. April retail sales came in much lower than expected, and USA's Chris Barnes has details.
Retail sales fell by 16.4% last month, nearly 5 points below the best experts' predictions. The nearly 16.5% decline is double the previous record set for a drop back in March. More than two-thirds of the nation's $21.5 trillion economy comes from consumer spending, so the cratering retail numbers illustrate the depth of the economic disaster that's been brought on by the coronavirus pandemic. I'm Chris Barnes.
Five sailors on the U.S. aircraft carrier sideline in Guam due to COVID-19 have tested positive for the virus for a second time and have been taken back off the ship, according to the Navy. The resurgence of the virus in those sailors aboard the USS Theodore Roosevelt underscores the behavior of the highly contagious virus and raises more questions about how troops that test positive can be reintegrated into the military, especially submarines and ships. This is USA Radio News.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. With us today is Dr. Joshua Rappaport, author of a book that will be hitting your bookstore in the next few months. The book is called Mapping Humanity: How Modern Genetics is Changing Criminal Justice, Personalized Medicine, and Our Identities. And today we're talking about the genetics of the coronavirus. Because of the fact that it's been several months now since we had all these lockdown and social distancing measures taken, and now we actually know a little bit about the virus itself. So let's now talk a little bit about therapeutics. First of all, some people say that remdesivir gives us perhaps the best shot to reduce the severity of the disease. Well, what are your thoughts?
So I think remdesivir looks like it has some very good preliminary data. So just to basically summarize, so remdesivir is what's called a nucleoside analog, and it basically blocks one of the enzymes that the virus makes, which it uses to make more of its own genome and express its proteins in the cell. And it does seem like there has been some good solid data. I guess the main headline was that it accelerated recovery from 15 days in people who didn't get it to 11 days in people that did, and that seemed good enough to start to move forward with it. It's being produced and distributed widely now. It's not the only. So this idea of blocking these viral enzymes, it's not unique to coronavirus, and drugs like this have proven to be very useful in fighting other viruses as well. But there are a number of different possible therapies that are being tried or being discussed as well, and some are targeting other viral enzymes. There's some recent discussion about targeting the viral protease, which is an enzyme that cuts up the viral proteins into the individual pieces that need to assemble. So there are a lot of different and possibly or probably these might be used in combination as well.
And as I understand, we still have no vaccine for HIV, even though millions of people have died from it and decades of research has been gone into it and millions of dollars have been spent. And it simply mutates too quickly. But one of the reasons why we've been able to get a handle on it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is because we have a cocktail. A cocktail whereby we can look at certain points during its reproduction cycle, weak spots basically, and create chemicals that can interfere with those weak spots. So isn't it true that remdesivir and other drugs can one day target some of the weak spots in the reproduction cycle of the virus?
Exactly. And more than just that, though, I mean, there are people who are doing trials also of drugs that can regulate the immune response as well, because in many cases, the people who fare the worst can have overblown immune responses. There's this phenomenon that's referred to as the cytokine storm, and your own immune system can cause you to have sort of massive multi-organ failure responses and things like that. So the combination of things that are going to be modulating your immune system as well as inhibiting the viral life cycle, either the viral gene replication or expression or the viral protease, as I mentioned.
Okay, Joshua, we have to take yet another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to get on 100 radio stations and ask a question, give us a call at 612-564-8135, and we are talking about the genetics of the coronavirus.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Dahibo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, Dahibo Tea Club's original pure powdery Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, for the 8th Annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, May 29th to June 1st. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, leading-edge science, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend offers lectures and workshops, exciting panels, and a luncheon that I'm hosting. Contact in the Desert also features leading experts, including Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, Stephen Greer, Emery Smith, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and many important researchers and scientists from all over the world. With the breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, Contact in the Desert is your place for inside information. Join us at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. It's time to make contact. That's contactinthedesert.com. Contactinthedesert.com.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again with us today is Dr. Joshua Rappaport. He is the Executive Director for Research Infrastructure at Boston College, author of a new book, Mapping Humanity, How Modern Genetics is Changing Criminal Justice, Personalized Medicine, and Our Identities, which will be hitting your bookstore in the next few days. Also, let's talk about convalescent antibody plasma therapy. That's quite a mouthful, but I understand that this plasma, which is extracted from the blood of people that have recovered from an attack of the coronavirus, this plasma is so precious that some people think there could be a black market. A black market where people will pay thousands of dollars to get this plasma from people that have recovered from the virus. Hopefully we're not going to get to that stage. But what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about antibody plasma therapy?
Sure. So it's a really important question from a variety of points of view, and it actually impacts upon how we're thinking about public health issues, because the assumption, whether you're talking about convalescent plasma or not, is that antibody responses will be protective. And this is certainly not uncommon. This is sort of the standard way that we think the immune system works in fighting future viruses, but it's not foolproof, right? Just because you had the flu last year doesn't mean you won't get the flu 5 years from now or whatever. So I think we have to be really careful when we talk about anything having to do with antibody responses, because I think people are making some assumptions. Now, there are people who are trying the convalescent plasma. I'm not aware of any really, clinical trials with controlled groups looking at long-term reinfection rates and all that kind of thing. But in terms of helping people get recovered, I mean, it seems to make sense, but whether you're talking about convalescent plasma or whether you're talking about just an individual who may have been exposed and has antibodies present in their system that are their own, I think we really have to be careful. I think it's all happening very, very fast, and we need to think about, where there is actual scientific evidence before people, would go really where you're talking about and start buying and selling black market convalescent plasma. Really seems at this point to be very problematic, I would say.
Also, there's another wild card in the mix called BCG. In Asia and other countries where tuberculosis is a problem, this is routinely given and when people get vaccinated. Not in the United States, because tuberculosis is not so rampant here. But some people think that, by golly, people who have been vaccinated with BCG seem to have a lower rate of getting the virus. But other people are not so sure. But what are your thoughts about BCG and other antivirals that may be used against this virus, even though originally it was used for something entirely different?
Sure. I mean, as you know, things like antivirals, like the nucleoside analogs and the protease inhibitors and things like that, these can be used potentially across different specific viruses. But with the BCG, so this is the Bacillus vaccination, and this was something that, as you said, is used in some countries, and in fact, it's been seen that it can have seeming protective effects against certain respiratory viruses, and so the thought was maybe that could be the case with coronavirus. Now, I think you need to be very careful when you're going to sort of pick out individual populations, because there's so many differences in terms of behavior patterns, in terms of the presence of pre-existing conditions. And so if you're just going to, you know, it's very easy to sort of pick two variables and say there's a correlation there, but if you're going to actually recommend something medically, there really has to be studies that provide data that demonstrate, you know, quantitatively statistical significance in a controlled setting. So I think, again, it's just really early days with something like BCG. But, yeah, I agree that there has been some evidence, at least in the past, that it can offer protective effects against some pulmonary viruses. So maybe that might be somewhat the case in this example.
Okay, well, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. If you want to get on 100 radio stations and ask a question, give us a call at 612-564-8135. And we're talking about Mapping Humanity, a new book by Dr. Joshua Rappaport. Stay tuned now for the next segment of Science Fantastic.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special
DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Dr. Joshua Rappaport, author of a new book hitting the bookstores in just a few months. The book is called Mapping Humanity, How Modern Genetics is Changing Criminal Justice, Personalized Medicine, and Our Identities. So let's switch gears now, and instead of talking about the virus, let's talk about your book. Specifically, you talk about, well, the criminal justice system, personalized medicine. First of all, isn't it true that a lot of the cold case files that were dormant for literally decades are now being opened up again with new eyes because of the fact that with genetics, we're able to trace the family tree of somebody who might have committed a rape or murder, and were able to make headlines by arresting these individuals. Could you explain how that is done?
Sure. There are a few different ways that genetics can play a role in criminal investigation, and particularly with the cold cases. What it is usually is it's a combination between just sort of old style heritage tracking, so understanding how family trees work, and combining that with the sort of modern genetic approaches. And really, it's the innovation of the at-home personal genetic test that really opened this up. So there are databases out there where people have uploaded their results from these personal genetic testing companies, and they're trying to find lost family members. And the thing is that, you know, because parts of your DNA, parts of your genome are going to be matched with people that you're related to, that it's higher in, you know, your nuclear family, your closest relatives, but even relatively distant people in your family can be matched that way. And so basically what happens is if the police have a DNA sample that's unknown and they want to find out who it belongs to, they can take that DNA sample and get one of these genetic reports and then try to match it to ones that might already be in the database. And this involves, as I said, some sort of classical understanding family trees and stuff, because there might be, you know, missing pieces, and there's, you might have to look up some records and see, oh, was this person living in that city at that time when the crime happened? So it's this real combination of classical investigation techniques, understanding how to research genealogies, and then the modern DNA science.
You know, I remember as a kid reading these mystery stories about genealogy of royal families, and there's the famous case of Anastasia. Anastasia was a daughter of Tsar Nicholas II, who reportedly was assassinated by the Bolsheviks when they took over in 1917 in Russia. But over the decades, several women claimed that they were Anastasia, and it was almost impossible to disprove their claims, and some of them actually, you know, wormed their way into the royal families of white Russians in Europe. But now, I guess, using genetics, we know that they were all fake. And so a lot of the so-called the controversies of history, including criminal justice incidences, can now be resolved using the power of genetics, right?
Absolutely. And I mean, they're similar, you know, some stories similar in the British royal family and other royal families. Interestingly, you know, one of the things that's happening is a lot of people who are taking these genetic tests, they might find out things about their family that they didn't know before about, you know, parentage and adoption and things like that. On the other side, there are many examples of people who, you know, had no idea who their birth parents were and have been able to use these technologies to find them. So, you know, there have been sort of surprises on both sides.
In fact, I once talked privately to a geneticist who does this, and he found out by accident that a few of the children that he analyzed were not the children of the father of the family. And then I asked him a question. If he just found out that somebody's child is illegitimate or not their own child, what do you do? Do you tell them? And this was years ago. He said, no, he doesn't tell them because it's none of his business, and he doesn't want to create a huge controversy in that family. But what are your thoughts about privacy and the fact that some of these things reveal very embarrassing things about people's family tree?
Absolutely, and not just things that might be embarrassing or unexpected. And I talk about this in the book. But also, you know, what kind of responsibility is there if, for example, in the case you're talking about, if somebody thought they were had inherited a genetic disease or at risk of having a genetic disease, but then in fact they weren't because their parent or parents weren't who they thought they were, so or vice versa. If you find out that somebody is actually someone who has a genetic disease that could be passed down is actually someone else's parent or sibling, what kind of a responsibility is there in that situation as well? So there are a lot of open questions here, and there's really it's complicated, and each case is being looked at.
And what are your thoughts about whether or not one day we can fix broken genes? Europeans have to worry about cystic fibrosis, Jews have to worry about Tay-Sachs, and African Americans have to worry about sickle cell anemia, and perhaps one day we'll be able to use genetics and gene therapy to fix those broken genes. What are your thoughts?
So, I mean, this is happening right now. It's been sort of a long time coming because of the technical and regulatory aspects of it, and people have wanted to move forward very gradually, slowly, and carefully. But this is happening right now, and there are more and more gene therapies being approved that are actually impacting on people's lives. I mean, they are complicated, there might be some risks, and they are generally quite expensive for the patient.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we've run out of time, but if you want to find out more about genetics, get a copy of this book hitting the bookshelves in July. The book is called Mapping Humanity, How Modern Genetics is Changing Criminal Justice, Personalized Medicine, and Our Identities by Dr. Joshua Rappaport. So, Joshua, thank you so much for being on Science Fantastic.
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, and once again, this is Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Give us a call at 612-564-8135, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extend.